Good morning. A very warm welcome to you all, whether regular attenders or visitors. Please accept our welcome. And also please join us for tea and coffee after the service in the hall next door. There is one intimation which I hope is a reminder to you all, because it should all be in your diaries already, that next Sunday we are having our service will be held at the Old Forgan Church to commemorate 900 years since the original church at Forgan was founded in 1124. That does mean, however, that it's not going to be here. So just bear that in mind if you come and the door's shut, you're heading to Forgan. But please note that the church you're going to is not the church on the left of the road opposite the Forgan stove shop, nor is it the one on the current cemetery at Vicarsford. The church is further along that road, near to Kirkton Barnes. The road is narrow with potholes, so please drive with care, but some people are taking an alternative route going through Tayport out the other side and taking the right turn marked Kirkton Barnes. There will be somebody on duty to give you access into the church grounds. There should be sufficient parking space for everyone, but please take care to park sensibly, and we have been told that you're parking on the diagonal. While the weather forecast looks good for next weekend, we may need to change our plans, and we'll be holding our service in the hall instead if we have to. If in doubt, please come via the church. There will be a notice up if the weather's looking poor. The churchyard has no power supply, so we will not be able to share the service on Zoom, and we will not be recording it either. The singing will be unaccompanied, which is appropriate for a 900 anniversary. The hymns will be well known to all of us. The words will be on your order of service. So please do come along next Sunday, and if you have not already done so, sign your name on the sign-up sheet, which will give you the opportunity also to share in the driving. One rather long intimation, but I hope it's a help to us all. And now it's my great privilege to welcome back the Reverend Alex Shuttleworth, who was here not that long ago, as you will all recall. He's taking out his time from being Presbytery Clerk to lead our service today. So, Alex, lovely to have you back, and we'll conduct worship.
I wish I was going to Forgan next week. That sounds like fun. I mean, the journey sounds like fun. I don't know what point you get attacked by bandits or whatever, but and park on the diagonal. I can barely park straight. I don't know how you're going to move. Anyway, it's lovely to be back here. Nice to see you. A lovely sunny morning as well, which is just as well, because you'll notice that the second hymn is Summer Suns Are Glowing, and I picked that about Wednesday or something, and I had no idea what the weather forecast was going to be like. And then all the way up the road this morning on the road signs, it says yellow warning. Yellow warning, heavy rain forecast. Is that right today? Have I just given you some bad news you didn't know? Well, anyway, heavy rain is forecast. Anyway, we have a roof on this church, so we'll be okay, even if it starts before the end. It is lovely to be back, lovely to be with you. And I bring you the greetings, of course, of the Presbytery of Fife, of which you are part. But I bring you those greetings in my capacity as the Presbytery Clerk. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. We start our worship with those words from the psalmist, and now sing hymn number 59. The words appear on the screen there. O come and let us to the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. God of unity, you created all of us. You are the Lord of all nations, and we gather to worship here today, in person, online through our Zoom, and with Christians all over the world as one family. God of unity, you bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. God of unity, you seek our unity. You seek that we join together, not only in the physical present, but in the spiritual future and past, the communion of saints. Lord, as we look round this church, we remember people who used to sit in well-known places and rejoice that those who have been gathered to you still worship with us in this communion. God of unity, you are the God of all praise in all times and all places, and you united in your person here and now in this place and beyond. Lord God, you love us more than we can ever comprehend, and yet we still turn away from you. We act in what we think are our best interests, believing that we know what must be done, that we know best. We do it so often in the small things and in the biggest of things. We reject you, Lord, and we're sorry. You know our hearts. You know us deeply and intimately. You know what we've done and what we will do even before we do it. You keep your promises, so let us not be afraid to confess our deepest sins to you. May we know the freedom your truth provides us, that through your Son, Jesus, we may know forgiveness. So in penitence for all that we do wrong and get wrong and try badly, we hold together a moment of silence. Forgiving God, help us to open our hearts to you. Speak to us and guide us as we live out our faith in our worship today, through gathering round the word, by helping our neighbor, volunteering in our community, and reading your word. Bring us closer to you and help us to turn to glorify you in our actions. Be with us always, and may your presence be known among us. Help us to focus our thoughts and remember that you are in everything that is good. We pray this in Jesus' name, that same Jesus who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning to the young folk in the church. Do you want to come forward? Come forward. Forward you come. Forward you come. First one here gets £5. Oh, I'm here first. So that's fine. Come up, come up, come up to the front. Come up further. Up, up, up. Well, that's just mop forward. Can you, I don't know where the best place is to be seen for the kids to be seen. Just there. Okay, right. Anybody got a birthday today? Anybody got a birthday tomorrow? Anybody got a birthday this month? Whoa, when's your birthday?
29th August.
Oh. Let's work that out. What's the date today? It's the 11th. 29 minus 11. That's 18 days. That's a lot of days till birthday, isn't it? It's not yet. When's your birthday?
My mother's birthday is on the 18th.
Your mother's birthday is on the 18th. Is that you?
No.
Oh, let's see. That's only a week. So you'll be having your birthday in a church with no roof and forgan. That'll be good, yeah. Do you know when your birthday is? July. Oh, you've had your birthday then?
Yeah,
good. Now, when do you go back to school? Bad news. Do you know? Because I don't, I live, although I work in Fife, I live in Where do I live? Stirlingshire. Yeah, it's difficult. I live in Stirlingshire. I spend most of my spare time in Falkirk, and so I don't know where kids should be at school. Do you go back this week?
It's 10 days, 21st.
21st? So that's 10 days. Oh, that's what you said, 10 days. Right. So that's in, and what month will it be?
August.
August. How many days are in August? 31. 31. You sure? How do you know?
No,
30. You're not sure? You've changed your mind. Who had a birthday in July? It was your birthday in July. Right. How many days in July, do you know? There's a way of remembering. Who knows how you remember how many days in a month? Hand went straight up. Mrs. Lady in the stripy top, stand up and shout out the rhyme.
You use your knuckles.
Go on. Hold on. Hold on a moment. All months, we'll get this down, all months are either 30 or 31 except for February. Go on then.
Okay, so if you start with January on the first
month. Do this, put your hands together, put your fist. Right?
So. I've done this for about 40 years, so I don't really do it anymore, I just don't. But the first month is January.
It's a lumpy one. No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
April doesn't. April doesn't.
No, I didn't say April. January, March, May, July.
I'm sorry, madam, but you said April. And the benefit of this is the service is recorded, and I can prove that you... Run the tape. Right, so,
okay,
so January.
January.
So if you're hitting the bone, it's a 31-day
yes.
one. So January.
February's
not.
March.
Is a bone one.
April isn't.
It was last time, but it's not this time. May.
May is. June isn't. And July isn't.
But
then. Beginning again. August is. September isn't. October isn't. November isn't. And December isn't.
There we go. That's how you do it. Well done. So if you look at your hand, where your knuckle is bony, if you count off from the beginning, you go January, February, March, April, May, June, July. 31, less than 31. 31, 30, 31, 30, 31. I was born on May the 31st. Okay? My brother and sister were born on July the 31st. Then you go to the next hand, and that's August, September, October, November, December. So the answer is in your hands. And it's a clever way of remembering it. Other people remember, I thought you were going to say... Well, we're all going to say this together. Hold on. I mean, you come in here and it looks all well organized, but it's a rabble. We'll start in time. 30 days. Yeah, we've all fallen apart now, yeah. Which has 28 days clear and 29 in each leap year. So there's two ways of remembering. You've got a word, I've got a poem, or you've got the answer in your hands. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're in August, that one, so that's 31. September is 30. The answer's in your hands. And we use things like that to remember things that are important. For example, if I told you that Super Mitch has 11 ostriches, would you know what I was remembering? Anybody? I'd be remembering Superior, Michigan, Huron, Ontario, Erie. That's the Great Lakes from west to east. Or if I told you that Richard of York gained battles in vain, what would I be remembering? Colors of the rainbow. Thank you. The bass section got excited then. Colors of the rainbow. We use other things. What's that remind us of? That cross up there, or that one up there. In fact, they're all over. Let's see how many we can see. What's that cross remind us of? Anybody? Go on.
Jesus and God.
That reminds us about Jesus. Jesus died on a cross, and so we've got crosses all over the church, we've got there, we've got there, we've got there. We've got words to remember that. We've prayed some of the best known words, the Lord's Prayer, but we've also got symbols, like the things of using our knuckles. Those crosses are different kinds of crosses, but they all mean the same thing, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus is our friend, that Jesus is special, that Jesus is God. So we have the answer in our mind, we have it in our hands when we read the Bible, and we have it in the symbols as well around the church. Things to remember, because the things are very important to remember, like that April doesn't have 31 days. That's important to remember. We've got to remember things. God gives us memory, he gives us signs, he gives us symbols. One of the reasons that churches used to have a lot more stained glass is that people who couldn't read would be able to look at the pictures and remember. So these are very important symbols. The symbol of the cross up there and all the way around here. These are lovely crosses reminding us things that we need to remember. You're not going to forget your birthday though, are you? Because that's important. When's the birthday we celebrate for Jesus? You don't forget that one either. 25th of December, Christmas Day. I said Christmas and it's only August. Remember those things. Remember how to tell how many months have got 30 days and 31. But the most important thing, remember that the cross means that Jesus loves us. Okay? We're going to go and sing now. Summer suns are glowing over land and sea. Thank you very much and enjoy your fun day when it comes. Off to your fun time, I want you all to give me a high five, but this high five is not an ordinary high five, this is a blessing. So high five, God bless you and keep you out in his love. God bless you. Nice to see you. Off you go. Thank you, Chris.
Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, reading from chapter 4, verse 25, through to chapter 5, verse 2. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, reading through to chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were seated for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And continuing in chapter 5, walk in love. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And may God bless to our reading this morning from his holy book. And our next hymn is number 238, Lord, Bring the Day to Pass.
Lovely hymn written by a man who was at one time minister of the church in Rosyth, Ian Masson Fraser, and then went on to have a quite remarkable career, a man that I knew through the Scottish Church History Society. And he was a tremendous character and only died a few years ago. I was looking at his year of birth, 1917. I think he very nearly made 100. I don't think he quite made it, but nonetheless, a good hymn, a couple of his in the hymn book. And then that tremendous hymn you sang as an anthem, which I haven't heard for years and years and years, just suddenly wafted me back. I don't think that's the tune I remember. Is it from... Yeah. There's always a fight about what tune is the proper one to sing for what hymn, but it was beautiful, and thank you very much for singing that for us today, choir. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Doesn't it seem, friends, that there's a new horror every week? I don't suppose, you know, actually the world is a very much more terrible place than it used to be, but we kind of feel that it is somehow. When we're told, however, to look back to the good old days, I like to challenge what people mean by the good old days. My mother's just had her 96th birthday, 14th of July, 31 days. She was, 31. She was born in a house, though, where her father, who was a minister, was suffering from the horrible wounds, gassing and being buried by explosion that he'd received in the First World War. And he went on to die in 1945 when she was just 16. No NHS at that time. No antibiotics. A very simple injury. Could turn septic very soon. Her teenage years, my mother's teenage years, were spent in the Second World War. And she became a primary school teacher. She was a very good primary school teacher. She loved primary school teaching, but she did it because that was kind of what she was expected to do. The opportunities for careers for women of her age, or her generation, as it were somewhat more limited even then than they are now. I hope when the young women in your families opened their higher results this week, and I hope they were good for you, I hope they were good, but I hope you celebrated not only how good they were, how well they had done, but also the opportunities, the range of opportunities that it opens up to young women now, as well as to young men. It didn't used to be the case. So the good old days are not necessarily as good as we think, but as I said, every week it seems to have a new horror, and you don't have to look far to see the horror this week. Hooliganism on the streets, do not dignify it with the title of protest. Hooliganism on the streets, supposedly but not actually a response to a horrific knife attack the week before at a dance class, just horrific, utterly shocking. And as matters and unrest calmed down this weekend, the news came out of Gaza with its awful predictability, at least 80 people killed in Israeli missile strikes in a school compound in Gaza. The latest in a string of attacks on schools that the Israeli army says are targeting militants, using them as bases. The bombing of Tabin School, where about 6,000 displaced people were sheltering, was hit when many people were preparing for dawn prayers on the Saturday. And as we turn our eyes to that troubled hotspot, we are in danger of lifting our eyes from other ones. The war in mainland Europe, Ukraine-Russia conflict, enters a new deadly phase. I was thinking about that just as I walked up the path to the church. I saw that banner on the wall. Do you even remember that it's still there? Of the Ukrainian flag made up of crosses, yellow and blue, and what that signifies. In a time where one side seems pitted against the other, it's worth thinking about the passage we read from Ephesians today. Now, it sounds just like good advice for living. The advice, as it were, that you might find in that publication that was a fixture in my grandmother's house, and I don't know why I suddenly thought of this week as well, but it was called The Friendship Book of Francis Gay. There was always a copy, an annual that was produced every year, and there was always a copy in my grandmother's house. It was a kind of almanac, I suppose. And some of you are looking blankly as though you've never heard of it, but it was page after page of inspirational prose and that kind of thing. And indeed, one of those verses that we read features in a film which I loved as a child. Remember the film Tom Thumb, when the woodcutter is cutting down a tree and the fairy who lives in the tree says, if you don't cut it down, I'll give you 3 wishes. And he wishes for a sausage, and when his wife finds out, she's so angry that they argue back and forth, and the other 2 wishes are wasted. And in order to satisfy them in a small measure, that's how they get Tom Thumb, this tiny, tiny little boy. But anyway, the argument that ensues between the woodcutter and his wife, at the end they light candles, and on the stand of the candles that verse appears, "Never let the sun go down in your wrath," which is good advice, by the way. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. But this passage, which is full of these kind of things, is not a collection of homespun proverbs. Paul is writing these words to explain to the Gentiles and the Jews, long adversaries and mutually suspicious of each other, how they're now supposed to live together. It is, in fact, a blueprint for a new way of being a society. Now, we should apply these injunctions in Ephesians chapter 4 to our own lives, but we should more than that. We should try to think of them not as just individual imperatives, but a way of being a society. And when we do that, how powerful they are, how radical they are. There are six, as it were, major themes. The first one, laying aside false or misleading communication with one another and instead speaking the truth. That's verse 25. Isn't that relevant today? Laying aside false or misleading communication. Look what happens when false information is spread about the nature and identity of the boy who attacked the dance class with a knife. He was, according to the lies being spread, a Muslim fundamentalist. Well, it would seem that he was nothing of the sort. But look what happened when that false story got out. Look what happened when a president told the supporters that the election he lost was stolen from him. It seems strange to me, as I think back to those solid, respectable news readers of my youth, the Kenneth Kendalls and the Richard Bakers and the Robert Dougals. It seems strange to me that we're living in a world where the first reaction we have to every news story has to be, "I wonder if it's true." Lay aside false, misleading communication. Acknowledge that anger can be justified, yet refuse to let it fester. That's verses 26 and 27. To be angry is okay. Jesus got angry. But I see so many of these faces on news and social media where the twist of anger in their face has entered their soul and has restricted their ability to live openly to other people. Anger, a permanent state of anger. Embracing honest works, the next one, not for our own benefit and security, but for the sake of meeting human need. Everything we do has a consequence on everyone around us. And if we live selfishly, even in our endeavors, even in our job, even in our labor, if we live selfishly, we harm the people around us. The fourth one, and this is a difficult one, cutting off the impulse to indulge in evil talk. Corrosive criticism, denigrating sarcasm, and talking behind others' backs. Instead of that, says Paul, choose speech that builds up. Remember the best teachers. Not only teachers, but go beyond that, the best people you worked for when you were in employment were those who encouraged you. Even when they were telling you you'd done something wrong, those who were encouraging you. Even when a boss was reviewing your work and said, "Well, you got these things right," how much better it was if you were encouraged. Build people up. Resist the temptation, he says in verse 31, resist the temptation to nurse grudges. Justify our resentments, pick fights, and denigrate those with whom we disagree. I've always had a soft spot for a prime minister. Not a man that I would ever, I think, have been tempted to vote for, but I liked him enormously, and that was John Major. And one of the powerful statements that John Major made often, he would say, "They are my opponents," of his political adversaries. He would say, "They are my opponents. They are not my enemies. They are my opponents. They are not my enemies." Resist the temptation to nurse grudges, justify our resentments, because we can do that. There's a very famous story. It's quite a long story. I'll tell you anyway. It's about a man who goes up a hill to borrow a spade from the man at the top of the hill, and he meets the first neighbor, And the first neighbour says, where are you going? He says, I'm going up to see old Jock. I'm going to borrow his spade. He says, you're wasting your time. He'll never lend you his spade. He goes up a little further and he comes across another man digging a ditch. He says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to see old Jock. Borrow a spade. Don't waste your time. He'll never lend you a spade. And this happens three more times until he reaches the top of the hill where Jock's cottage is, and he knocks on the door and Jock opens it and the man says, keep your damn spade. You see how stories just build up this resentment, and I apologise, I shouldn't be swearing to the Lord, should I? But we justify our resentments, we pick fights and denigrate those with whom we disagree. Instead, cultivate kindness, these are the words, kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness, such as God has extended to us in Christ. And then, number six, becoming, this is in Ephesians 5, verse 1, becoming imitators of God by living out of love and moved by love, giving ourselves away for others as Christ hath. Imitations, imitators of God. And that's the key to all this. Christian living, the challenges and joys of Christian living always go beyond the self. They are always about how we relate to one another. Think about the core principles of the faith as laid out by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Not how do you live as a follower of Christ, but how do we live together? Now, of course, it's easy to live together with the people we are living together with who are nice, rational, sensible Christian people. That is our way of saying that they are people who agree with us. It's dead easy to live with people who agree with us. But the challenge of Christian living is that we are called to live alongside and with people who do not act as we do, think as we do, will as we do. So when we're called to cultivate kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness such as God has extended to us in Christ, we are faced with a huge challenge. It challenges our understanding of politics, of church as well. All of us are in a place of change in our churches, and we're not going to get what we want. We're just simply not. And for as long as we put what we want at the front of our minds instead of where the wind of the Spirit seeks to blow us, we are doomed. And worse than being doomed, we are dooming ourselves. To live in the reality of this world with values which are countercultural is difficult. To seek our self-identity in self-denying is sacrificial. But that is the imitation of Christ which Paul invites us to. And it is the imitation of Christ which the reality of the modern day world demands of us. We have to live differently. When the pilgrims left Plymouth and headed for the New World on the Mayflower, Winthrop preached a sermon, became very famous. You are to be, he said, like a city on a hill. And this sermon is often misunderstood by the critics of the Puritans by thinking that they were going to show righteousness to the world. But actually what he was saying to them was, be careful, because people are going to be watching you for failure. Actually, the meaning of that sermon is almost exactly the opposite of what we assume it is. People are going to be watching you for failure. It is a hard duty to live in a different way, but it is a duty which calls on deep reserves, but marvelous reward. Imagine if we could stand here and say our world is one which is based on kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness, such as God has extended to us in Christ. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, bring your light, love, and inspiration to us. Fill us with your awe-inspiring power. Remind us that we live for you and for each other, not for ourselves. As we reflect together today, as we go about our business this week, and as we live out the rest of our lives, be within our thoughts and actions. Amen. Do not be afraid. It's the next thing. Don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. Let's pray. We commit these gifts to you, O Lord, as a sign but not a substitute for our actions of love, care, compassion, tender-heartedness, and self-giving. We're thankful for all that you've given us. You're with us in all the challenges of life. We bring to you our prayers for others, for people who are struggling with their health, be it physically or mentally, for people who are in difficult relationships with partners, family, friends, or colleagues, for people who've experienced loss and are struggling with bereavement, for the people who are filled with uncertainty and are struggling financially. Loving God, bring us all peace, comfort, and hope. Show us ways to be channels of that peace, comfort, and hope. We pray for the leaders of our world. Guide our politicians and diplomats that they may be truthful, just, and caring as they communicate and take action on our behalf. Bless our King and country with the willingness to do your work, to be inviting, supportive, and loving of all people, and care for all your creation. We pray for peace in our nations, for the violence and anger to stop, to subside, for hands to reach out and welcome, open, not clenched in fists. We pray for all people of the world. Bring peace for people caught in the indifferent destruction of war. Bring hope for all those who cannot see an end to their struggling and despair. Empower us all in whatever way we can to work to bring relief, peace and care to each and every situation we encounter. May we work with your Holy Spirit to bring hope. We bring to you also our own private prayers and petitions. You know the prayers of our heart, prayers that sometimes defy the ability of us or other people to put them into words. We sit for a moment together in silence and commit these fondest prayers and hopes to your tender keeping. All this we pray in your name. Amen. We're going to conclude our service by singing together hymn number 511. Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. Above all else, know that God loves you, and in the strength of that love, go out to serve and love God and your neighbor. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love. Here now, further afield and already gathered, and with their Maker, now and forevermore.